in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen. Do it. Scream from the
age. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Young Enough, the Young Professionals Radio Program. I'm your host, Joe Katich, alongside my chief marketing officer, Chris.
Hey.
Thomas. Chris, what do we got lined up for today?
Hey, guys. We're going to be taking a different approach with this show. We're going to be going over... Joe and I spent some time looking back over the past couple of weeks, seeing what are the most pertinent or most unique and pressing issues in the business world, and whether it be related to job development, technology, anything that can affect the millennial. We are going to go over some interesting articles that we found, and we're going to give you our take on it and maybe some piece of advice to help you moving forward. So, Joe, I know you got the first one for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind, guys, the idea behind this is to keep you informed about what's going on out there in the world. Then we're going to give you some advice on how you can correct your path.
The lessons to take away from
these stories. Yes, the building blocks of success. All right, first one, this is out of CNN. It's an opinion piece, Why Millennials Struggle for Success. And basically, to sum up the article, it talks about how the older generations are tough on us. How they call us the entitled generation. They call us, they say we don't work hard. And that's, yes, hurtful, but not necessarily incorrect. So according to this GRIT scale, G-R-I-T, it basically focuses on how tough you are in business. It says that is where we're lacking. We don't have enough grit, in my opinion. While we may not have enough grit, I think our brains have far outgrown our brawn. It seems as though, we found shortcuts, and they actually work. Now, I don't know about you, Chris, but my dad, I saw a psychic down in Florida, and they said, your parents, they aren't exactly 100% positive on your career choice. And I told him that. He goes, wow, that's actually spot on. I'm like, well, what the hell, Dad?
Yeah.
come on, give me some support. And he goes, well, it's just you do a different thing than what my generation did. And personally, I think it boils down to that. I think people taking different career paths is okay. As long as you're moving society
along. Give me an example of,
Well, my dad has worked in the same office since he was 16 years old.
Okay.
He works for the United States government, has a fantastic job, but he's had, we talk about it, 30 years in the gold watch.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly what he's had.
Uh-huh.
He's never been laid off. He's never been fired. He's never worked for anybody else besides a congresswoman. And then there's me where, I started off, I was a lifeguard. I worked for a tech company, built some products, and now we're here with radio shows and a marketing company.
Yeah.
It's different, but, we've also talked about how in the past it was 9 years on average that people stay in a position. Now it's 3 years. I don't know what it boils down to. My guess is that we have 100, the average lifespan of us, we're going to have 115 years to try out new things. Why be stuck in a rut for 80 years doing something that you absolutely hate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, with the baby boomer generation, they didn't grow up in a world where they had insight now we have a bird's eye perspective on what other people are doing and what makes people happy. And I think that it has given us sort of a glimmer of hope that, hey, maybe we can do our passion project, or maybe we can start our own business, or maybe we can get that dream job at whatever company, or, hey, maybe I want to be an artist. I think it's just a different cultural paradigm. Simple as that. Just as the baby boomer, I remember talking to my parents about that, like their music, the rock and roll, Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, when that type of music came out, my grandparents, our grandparents, they thought it was horrendous. It's just a different culture. And I think coupled with the fact that our economy as a whole is changing, that the job market is changing, that careers at large, the structure of businesses and the way things work is different. I also think that in large part, it's because back in 2014, only half of college graduates got jobs that required degrees. So think about the bad job market that they entered out of college in 2013 and up to the crisis. So they took whatever job they can get, and they're job jumping until they can find that right career. So I think that's I think people overlook the fact that that happened, right? We came into a bad job market. Our parents did not. So that's far different, I think. And then, like I said before, just the awareness level. That's the big thing, is the awareness. People can share on social media, and I think at a certain extent it's getting a little too romantic, where people are selling the dream life, and there's so many business coaches and success coaches and seven-figure coaches or whatever they have online. So I think that those two things are really have to do with it.
And I think a lot has to do with the education system as well. I was just talking to somebody about the other day about this, where they said, hey, look, my college counselor was recommending Kent State because he went to Kent State. And guess what? When my son went to Ottawa Hills, they recommended Kent State to him. It was the same exact college counselor that I had, that now my son is having 30 years later. And you start to wonder, at what point do you need to, you know, freshen up the lineup?
Yeah.
If you have somebody, you know, given the same spiel for 30 years, 40 years, saying, well, you know, you did great in math, you should probably go to, you know, Harvard and study math.
Yeah.
Well, what if that person doesn't want to? Mm-hmm. And this is a personal experience for me. When I was when I was young, I went to the orthodontist, all right? I had 16 teeth pulled. I had 4 years of braces. And the orthodontist had a BMW, all right? Yeah. I was 11 years old. And from then on, I'm like, okay, he's cool. He's awesome. He's very nice. He drives a sweet car. I want to be an orthodontist.
Yeah.
And nobody told me that was a bad idea because my science scores were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I enter college, all right? This is a true story. $50,000 a year in college, okay? Boom, boom. 2 years into it, I find out I hate biology. I hate chemistry. I don't want to do this anymore. Get me out of here. And I transfer to a business school.
Mm-hmm.
I think kids aren't, you know, shown the light isn't shined on the right subjects for a lot of kids, and they don't find out what they want to do with their life until they're 2 or 3 years deep in college.
I think you're correct, and that's tough. Like, there's really no set solution, because I think, what did they say, the average college student changes their major 6 times or something. At what point in time in your life do you really find that passion that you want to pursue? And I think even more importantly, the culture now that we live in encourages you to pursue your passion. Our parents, they saw work as work.
Yeah.
Right? Their passion was pursued outside of work, hobbies, things like that.
Yeah.
So now it's what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And that's what we've been sort of driven into our brains over this past period of time. So it's at what age are you matured to the point where, you know what I'm saying? My first job that I ever wanted to be, I wanted to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, right? And then I went to, like, I want to be a firefighter. Then I want to be a paleontologist because I like dinosaurs. You know, so, like, there's got to be that certain point when you reach a level where, like, this is what I want. And I do agree that there's not enough guidance or classes, courses. It's a self-awareness issue is what it is.
No,
there's a huge lack of self-awareness in our generation, generally speaking.
No, I 100% agree. And, you know, if you're in this rut, or, you know, you're getting a lot of pressure from your parents, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, just sit back and think about all the people who didn't make it until they were 25. You know, you hear about Walt Disney. He was fired from his first newspaper at 25 years old because he wasn't creative enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey was homeless, and now she's a billionaire.
Yeah.
So you have time to figure it out. But I think what's important is, if you don't feel like you're traveling in the right path, put on the brakes now. It's because it's quicksand, all right?
Yeah.
I know somebody, talking to them the other day. I knew them when they were in high school. They did terrible in biology. They went to college. They did terrible in biology. Then they went on to grad school. Now they're in med school. They did terrible in biology, and now the guy, he doesn't want to be a doctor anymore.
And how much money has he spent?
No, at least $250,000. At least. At least. And I just saw this on Facebook the other day. One of my friends posted it. You can't reach an iPad generation with an 8-track gospel. So just think about that. You can't, you know, these college counselors, they can't reach out to us and say, hey, look, this is the way it needs to be done, if they've been given the same exact speech for 30 years. So really focus deep down inside. Think, what do I want to do? Do I want to do it for the rest of my life? Is it going to make me happy? Is it going to be satisfying?
Yeah. That's how I would break it down. I'd break it down to work on your self-awareness. You're going to eventually find – there's no, like, five-step system on, oh, how to find your passion. Well, write down – there's just no way. Right? I've tried to – I think – I'm sure I can speak for a lot of people that you've done your research on how to find what you're meant to do for the rest of your life. There's it's something that you just have to keep poking until you find the bruise. So, you know, stay in the job that you have now, right? You have to kind of grind it out. But once you find what you want to do, find the best, you know, the different avenues that you could pursue it in, whether it be finding a great career in it. You might have to go back to school, or you might have to take online courses, or you might have to do your own research. You can start your own business. Figure out the avenues that can stem once you find it. You'll find it. It's just you're not going to find it if you don't look. And I think so many people, it just doesn't seem practical. And I think part of it too, and I guess I think we have to go to break, but I think we are entitled because I think it's ingrained in us. I think it's part of the culture now. I think there's a huge issue right now going on college campuses that's creating this whole entitlement aspect. We feel entitled to things, and we feel entitled to a job. We feel entitled to healthcare. We feel entitled to opportunity, rather than understanding that in reality, nothing comes from nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A job doesn't come from nothing. It comes from someone that took advantage of an opportunity. So people are looking to receive rather than understand to have to go out and get it. And I know that's cliche, but it's a huge issue right now.
But you brought up a great point. I mean, so many of kids of our generation, you know, they go in to work, they keep a closed mind, they come home from work, they keep a closed mind. If you are miserable, and I mean miserable, I know people that are just, they can't stand the thought of going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it drives them to drinking, it drives them to drugs. That's how much they hate their job.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, I mean, that is so mentally destructive and emotionally destructive to who you are as a human being. Well, don't do that.
And I think the thing is, too, they're getting validated for it. We're
yeah.
so proud of you.
Right.
You know, it's a great company. You get great benefits.
Right.
Stay there as long as you can.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
Right?
They match 2% on your 401k.
Yeah.
All right, this goes right to the next one. How millennials can succeed in business. Chris, how can millennials succeed in business? What's the number one way?
How can millennials – what are you going to say? Wait, are you going to say something?
By really trying. Guys, you know, seriously, that's exactly
that
what it is. This is out of the CNBC. And we're just going to focus on this really quick, guys. If you – I know we're going to talk about the robot story as well. If you are in a job where you don't feel as though your job is secure, you need to be the best at your position in order to hold down your job.
Mm-hmm.
It really is as simple as that. It comes down to developing your skills. In the last show, it was called The Edge.
Stand Out or Get Out.
Stand Out or Get Out. We talked about how to be competitive, how to differentiate yourself from the marketplace, how to really shine the light on who you are and what you do and what you're trying to do and why you're important. And that's what it's going to come down to, guys. Yeah. Every single day you hear more and more jobs just being cut. Mm-hmm. People being laid off. GE just laid off another 2,000. Deutsche Bank, another 3,200. You have these huge corporations just cutting off jobs because they simply don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
You have to wonder at what point, you know, does the bleeding stop? And I'll tell you right now, if you guys don't have the skills developed, you know, you could very well be on that chopping
block. You have really two options in the business world. You have two options. You either need to become valuable in terms of social skills, creative skills, things that robots can't do, and I think we'll talk about that in later segments, or two, you need to be building your own business.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Otherwise, I mean, there might be a few select jobs that still exist for accountants, but the reality is, unless you have that human edge and have it mastered, you're not going to become valuable anymore.
No.
That's the issue, is that we don't act on problems until they actually occur. Like, you know, it's like we don't see the writing on the wall until it hits us in the face.
Right.
And it's deadly, man.
No, we are an extremely reactive society. We're not proactive at all.
Yeah, because everything is available now.
Yeah.
You don't have to grow your food to eat it anymore.
Right. Just a real quick point. You're seeing this in the medical field. The United States spends more than the next four countries combined on health care.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well, we spend $3 or $4 trillion in medication costs. Okay, well, if you look at Germany or you look at Australia, they're actually trying to fight cancer with immunotherapy. We're trying to beat it off with chemotherapy. Well, there's a huge difference there. We're waiting until it's entirely too late. And I think we're seeing this in all aspects of the country. Would you agree?
In terms of
the job market, in terms of job creation, in terms of just waiting until it's too late and then having an uh-oh moment and be like, okay, look, we got to go.
Like
people who know that the writing's on the wall for their job, they don't do anything, and then they're fired. It's like, well, you had six months unemployment. You had a chance to go and look for your job while you were being paid by the company that fired you 6 months ago. Now your 6 months is up,
It's comfort, man.
Comfort's
the enemy of achievement. People will do more to avoid pain than gain pleasure. That's why you don't see people go after what they want, because there's so much uncertainty ahead of that. And in life, we do crave some uncertainty. We want some spontaneity. But for the most part, we like things to be pretty predictable. So it goes against our fiber to do something out of the ordinary for some people, for most people, I would say. Maybe not most people, but I would say for the large majority, it is. People do not like uncertainty.
Right.
There's a select few that do. So people, what's more painful? Ignoring the problem until it happens, putting it off, procrastinating, right? Procrastination is a natural part of our psychology. Or having to get uncomfortable and having to come to terms with knowing that your job that you've been doing for how long is not going to exist anymore, and you have to find alternate routes. It's a scary thing. But people will avoid it most people will avoid it. Yeah.
The 7 P's of Marine recruit training: prior proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the truth? All right, we're going to take a break. Listen to Young Enough, the Young Professionals radio program, 106.5, The Ticket.
You see and hear all these ads about saving a ton of money. At CR Adrian Dodge and Adrian, you can drive off with a brand new car for less than your cell phone bill. At CR Adrian Dodge, you can get a brand new Chrysler 300S or Dodge Ram for as little as $109 a month. Even a new four-door Jeep Wrangler for as low as $179 a month. Visit CR Adrian Dodge at 1211 East US 223 Adrian or call Tyler Tanzel at 517-266-5925. That's 517-266-5925.
Building a strong professional network is a key component to a young professional's success, and there is no better place to expand your professional network than at Third Street Cigar. Choose from their selection of hundreds of premium cigars and sit back and enjoy your smoke in their relaxing and spacious music-themed smoking lounge. Learn more at thirdstreetcigar.com. That's thirdstreetcigar.com. Or visit them at 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. 3rd Street Cigar, the Young Professionals Cigar Lounge.
In life, there's a lot to be thankful for. The things that matter most to you are worth keeping safe. MassMutual has a history of financial strength and stability with long-term interests of their customers in mind. MassMutual in Maumee, a MassMutual general agency, can prepare you for what's ahead in your financial future. They understand who's counting on you. To learn more, call 419-893-9759. That's 419-893-9759. Or visit them at 1760 Manley Road in Maumee.
And welcome back to Young Enough, the Young Professionals radio program. I'm your host, Joe Kadich, alongside Chris Thomas. Chris, you're eagerly waving your hand in the air.
I am.
I know you got a story.
Choose
for
me.
Us. Take it away.
Well, hey, we just talked about this, man. We were talking about if you want to get a competitive edge in the business world moving forward, you have to have skills mastered that include the human edge, right?
Right.
Social skills, EQ, or as Bruce Rump talked about at our last Young Professionals Night, AQ, awareness, your awareness quotient. So this article is actually in response to a blog post that would go against our advice by saying that if you're in business, no matter where you're in, you should learn sales. You should have some sales experience, especially if you plan on starting your own business, because when you start your own business, man, you're a glorified salesman of your own ideas, and that's even scarier than selling something that's already been established. So.
Yeah, and you're also support. You're also administrative assistant. You're also the lead project engineer.
Absolutely. And so this article comes from Inc. It is Why Robots Can't Hurt Salespeople. So, again, it's in response to a blog post on Forrester's website recently. It's called Death of a B2B Salesman.
Ooh.
Now, if there's any industry you think that sales or robots or automation would not interfere with, it would be B2B. As far as products goes, cars, you're seeing direct distribution with Tesla. But this is in response. They're saying that with more and more self-service portals that are coming out, technology is able to render business-to-business salespeople irrelevant. It isn't the first time I've heard the argument that automation is taking jobs, but this is the first time I've really heard from this blog post that is taking sales jobs. Now, a report from the World Economic Forum anticipated that 7.1 million jobs would be lost to robots in the next 5 years. Now, the problem with this theory should be obvious to anyone who has ever worked in any kind of enterprise sales. It's not about efficiently following orders. It's about customer engagement. And that's why I think no matter what type of CRM or customer relations platform you have, no matter how many automated messengers you have, that salesperson is still highly valuable, number one, because people do and that's the argument within this article. It says people do crave human interaction. And a great example is whenever you have to call a 1-800 number or you have to call your bank or you have to go through the press 1 for this, press 2 for this. People at some level do value someone that is actually socially interacting. I think they trust it more. I think you lose a huge opportunity to really connect and create loyal customers if you do not have great account account executives that are building that relationship, maintaining that relationship, the whole, get drinks on the golf course type relationship that you often found in business in the past. I think that is still relevant today. If anything more, as we become more and more competitive, I think you're going to see if maybe not sales, but if anything, you're going to have relationship managers that exist.
Yeah, and if you think that people like robots so much and that people like automation so much, why don't you go down to Arizona where they're daily shooting drones out of the sky with shotguns?
Yeah.
In Mississippi today where the guy on the side of the road just lost his job to a driverless semi-truck, threw out spike strips, knocked out every one of the 18-wheelers. People, at least for the next 20 years, this will not be a shoo-in. These robots will not be a shoo-in.
For some jobs, they will be. Like, we don't want to contradict ourselves. For technology, there are some jobs that humans have that we hate dealing with those humans, right? Okay. If you go to the DMV, prime example, right? So... I'm being realistic here. If you're going through a drive-thru, if you're going through, go to the bank, you're going to see, we've talked about this, you're going to see bank tellers.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be gone. It's just no point in it, right? They said they wanted, McDonald's workers wanted $15 an hour. We're just going to give what millennials really want, and that's more screens. So they just put a kiosk there with screen that you put your order in. That we'd much rather have if you can create more of a more efficient and faster way to make the food and distribute it.
Yeah, but
go ahead.
But also,
sorry to interrupt,
if you are one of those people that are in the industry that may be replaced, you have to focus on your skills, all right? Skills, they can be found in many ways. They can be in bookkeeping, it comes down to adding up numbers, doing Excel spreadsheets. And customer service is all about serving the customer.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't make eye contact with a customer at the register of your store, you don't belong in that job and you will be replaced.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah, exactly. So even within your job, if it is a process-oriented job, if you're just a basic accountant, right, assets, liabilities, if you're just a basic accountant, it would be, and you like it, it would be wise of you to find out how you can take basic accounting and add the human edge to remain valuable to your company. Financial analysis, balance sheet analysis, how you can help them cut costs in different situations. It's going to be very hard for a robot. At some level, they can with big data. But if you need to be finding where you can have that human edge over the machine. That's what's crazy is we are going to be living in a world, and again, it's hard to accept until it happens, right?
Yeah.
We are living in a world where we are going to be competing against 24-hour machines and robots that are way more accurate than us, that don't get sick than us. So the only way to survive without building a business or without being a doctor and whatnot, even those surgeons might be replaced by machines.
Already are.
So if you need to do one of three things. You need to have master the human edge. Two, be able to work with technology, right? Machine operators, someone has to run the robots. Or three, you have to start your own business. That's what I mean. And, hey, I can't predict the future, but that's just what I see. As where I see things going, that's what I see the best chances are of succeeding are at.
You know, I often think about this just, you know, in my own time, and I always wonder, okay, well, I'm at this point in my life right now, mm-hmm. right? I'm 24 years old. I do this, 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 and this. I never want to put all my eggs in one basket, which means I never want to only do radio shows because if an EMP hits the radio station, I don't have any more radio shows.
Yeah.
That's devastating. And I've always thought, what's the one thing, the one skill that's going to prevail in everything? And the path has always come down to sales.
Yeah.
Whether you're selling financial services, you're selling houses, you're selling cars. If you can sell, then I feel like you could adapt to any industry doing any skill as long as, you know, you're fluent in that stuff.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. So when we talk about sales skills, it's so much more than selling a product.
Right.
These skills are going to be they're going to give you the grit, right? If you want to be successful in sales, you have to develop grit, right? It's tough, right? But it is rewarding. So sales skills are not just how to communicate a product, how to cold call. It's not just things like that, how to close a deal. You know, if you can close a deal on a car, those same skills, those principles that allow you to close a car deal will allow you to network, will allow you to persuade someone at your next job interview that you're the person.
Yeah.
And I think people moving forward are going to be looking for someone who is more entrepreneurial minded, who is self-sufficient, and who's motivated. There's no better example, at least on paper, than a salesperson, because in order for them to succeed as a salesperson, right, they have to have those traits. So we don't want to confuse people by saying you have to learn how to sell products to customers, because even if that's taken out, the sales skills can still apply to convincing someone to fund your business, to convincing someone to hire you.
Yeah.
Just there's so many aspects that apply to it. It's really more of a personal development program, sales is, than anything else. And that's really what I wanted a viewer or listeners to perceive it as.
And there's so many things about sales. For one, I think it's a huge confidence booster.
Yeah.
You can tell. If I walk into a bar and I walk up to a table of people, I can tell who the sales guy is by the guy who looks me in the eye and says hello. You're like, yes. I mean, that's what you need more of. Yeah. So even if you aren't in sales, if you have that human interaction, you can be good to people, you can be sociable, and you can focus on confidence and hold yourself well, I think you can succeed in any aspect.
Another one I didn't mention is networking, just in general.
Huge.
Right?
No, absolutely.
One huge piece of advice I have for anyone that's a young professional is build your professional network, build your friends, don't burn bridges. Because you'll never know when, hey, you do need a new job stat, right?
Right.
You build good connections. You have people to help you out. You build good relationships. People will be more than happy to help you out, right?
And if you do burn bridges, just make sure it lights your path to success.
Right.
Speaking of networking, we did want to bring up, we do have Third Street Cigar Young Professional Nights on the 2nd and 4th Thursday of every single month. Guys, we have had absolutely huge speakers coming and talking. We had the president of Fifth Third Bank, Bob LeClaire, the president of SSOE. We like to gather the big name business people that have been there, they've done that, and they come and they speak to us. It's open forum, completely free of charge, just telling us how they got to where they are and what advice they would have for you. So like I said, it's the 2nd and 4th Thursday of every single month at Third Street Cigar. That starts at 7 p.m. And you can find more information on our Facebook page or our Instagram page. We're going to take a break. Listen, Young Up, the Young Professionals radio program, 106.5, The Ticket.
Building a strong professional network is a key component to a young professional's success, and there is no better place to expand your professional network than at Third Street Cigar. Choose from their selection of hundreds of premium cigars and sit back and enjoy your smoke in the relaxing and spacious music-themed smoking lounge. Learn more at thirdstreetcigar.com. That's thirdstreetcigar.com. Or visit them at 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. Third Street Cigar, the Young Professional Cigar Lounge.
In life, there's a lot to be thankful for. The things that matter most to you are worth keeping safe. MassMutual has a history of financial strength and stability with long-term interests of their customers in mind. MassMutual in Maumee, a MassMutual general agency, can prepare you for what's ahead in your financial future. They understand who's counting on you. To learn more, call 419-893-9759. That's 419-893-9759. Or visit them at 1760 Manley Road in Maumee. You see and hear all these ads about saving a ton of money. At CR Adrian Dodge in Adrian, you can drive off with a brand new car for less than your cell phone bill. At CR Adrian Dodge, you can get a brand new Chrysler 300S or Dodge Ram for as little as $109 a month. Even a new four-door Jeep Wrangler for as low as $179 a month. Visit CR Adrian Dodge at 1211 East US 223 Adrian or call Tyler Tanzel at 517-266-5925. That's 517-266-5925.
Welcome back to Young Enough, the Young Professionals Radio Program. I'm your host, Joe Katich, alongside Chris Thomas. Now, we got a really interesting story that just came out on Wednesday of this week, and it was about Tesla. You know, we've all heard about Tesla, and, you know, they sold a couple hundred thousand of these pre-orders of these cars, the Tesla Model 3. And today, two of their top production executives have left the company. Now, what does this mean? Well, they have about $4 billion in pre-order sales on $1,000 deposits for cars that they can't produce, and they just lost their top two guys. The stock went down 7%, costing the company $1.6 billion. So that kind of stinks. And, I mean, we're talking about Tesla, the electric car company, that they are on the cutting edge of some of the coolest stuff that we've seen in a century,
yeah.
I would say. I mean, what they're trying to do is as revolutionary as the airplane. And you just lost your top two guys. Now, they said that they didn't like the way they were being treated. Another one suggested that they didn't want the production issues that the car is having to fall back on them and have it damage their reputation. I mean, it comes down to this, in my opinion. You need to build better teams than that. If you're having production issues, that's okay.
Yeah.
We can get through that. That's a minor thing. You know, it's not like a sex scandal at work.
Yeah.
That's hard to overcome. This is something that you can overcome.
Yeah.
But when you abandon ship like that, it ruins your reputation, and it really affects everybody that was involved with the company or wanted a car from that company. So you're giving up on possibly one of the greatest innovations this century. Because your feelings were hurt. No, this can go both ways.
Yeah. I would say.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we don't know, you know, a story is a story. We don't know everything that took place. We don't know the details and what's been going on, you know, over the past extended period of time where these issues have started coming up. Well, who was treating them poorly? Was it Elon Musk?
Yes.
Specifically?
Which we've kind of heard that in the past.
Well, yeah.
And it's nothing against the guy.
No, and you have that with anyone that's extremely, it's a perfect example of Steve Jobs was the same way.
Yeah.
Someone that is so not only financially but personally invested in their product and in their vision.
Oh yeah.
And that's going to be one of my points that I'll bring up when we talk about team building. Someone that's so passionate and emotionally invested into their vision, right? Especially for Elon Musk at this point. Like they've been suffering when they're trying to get to how they can come to the production numbers that they need to be at. The only reason the stock is where it's at is because people believe in Elon Musk. People literally, it was just like how people were like, how can Facebook monetize advertising right now? It's not working. How are they going to monetize mobile? Right? People were investing in Facebook at that time. This was 2011, 2012.
IPO, yeah.
And people were investing in Mark Zuckerberg. So who knows what's going on there? I think Tesla's lucky because I think there's plenty of people that can fill those roles, very high qualified people that are going to be more than willing to fill those roles because they share the vision of Elon Musk. So I don't know these individuals. It is obviously a little bump in the road, but it's not something that Elon Musk can overcome. However, this could be a problem if you're starting a business, if you're in the early stages, right? Had this happened years back when they were just getting the concept prototype locked down, it probably wouldn't be production people. It would probably be more of engineers. That's an issue, right? Because if there's, you know, that can crush you. And that's why I think we're going to really dive into the topic of how do you choose the right people? How do you build an effective team? But more importantly, how do you maintain it over an extended period of time as you go through the shortfalls, as you go through the failures that are a natural process of building up a business? But continue.
I was just saying, I mean, it's one of these things where we talk about the most expensive thing a business does is job training.
Yeah.
Odds are they don't have a bunch of production managers running around. Normally things are tiger team where there's a specific hierarchy of how things work. This man reports to him. Only this guy talks to the CEO, Elon Musk. Those two guys are now gone. Mm-hmm. So now you have to train a new person. I'm saying it is a setback.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
But,
yeah.
but this is how you...
Poor timing, too.
Terrible timing.
I mean, jeez.
You're about to launch a $130,000 SUV. You're about to launch a 400,000 of these new Model 3s, which are supposed to be fantastic.
Which was one of their biggest goals, too, is to reach the average consumer. Not the high-end, but the average. The high-end consumers can put up. They'll put up with that. The people that buy Teslas, they buy for the quality of car, but the people that – there's a culture around rooting for Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It is the staple. It is the Cinderella story of actual entrepreneurship. So – that's not the issue. The issue is your everyday average Joe that may want to buy the car. It is affordable. That would say, hey, I know Ford is coming out with new economically friendly cars, whatever. That's the issue, is that as soon as they enter mass market, they have this issue.
Right. And Ford actually bought the first serial number one of the Tesla Model 3.
They
paid $140,000 for it. So this is sort of our ideas when it comes to team building, and this is early, early, early stages. We're talking about you're sitting in your day job and you go, hey, I got a business I want to start. It starts with the team. So first one, you got to hire qualified people. You know, you can't expect people to excel at something that they've never done before. Yeah. That means that, you know, I come to Chris with a business idea and I say, hey, Chris, I really need you to get going on that jackhammer, break up the concrete in the backyard so we can put in a pool. He has, he doesn't know how to do that. He'd find out because he's resourceful. But, you have to hire the right qualified people or you can't expect it to succeed. And if you give somebody a task that they're not comfortable with, it's just going to add stress on the business. It's going to add stress on you. It's going to add stress on them. And ultimately, I believe that business will crumble. So we can avoid all that by just hiring the right people.
Yeah.
Having people to do the skill sets that they know how to do. Yeah. That's important. Mm-hmm. Chris?
Yeah, so the few that I have laid out, the first tip I would give on team building, so before you even actually go out and try to build a team, the first thing you have to do is you have to validate your idea and vision and develop personal certainty that this is something that you will be moving forward with for the rest of your life, for till IPO, till buyout, whatever. This is something you need to convince yourself first that and validate the idea of a third party, not through mom and dad. We love mom and dad, but not through mom and dad, but through actual research, through credible opinions. You know, and it doesn't hurt to go to mom and dad, and it doesn't hurt to go to friends and get their opinions on your idea or on what you want to do, but take it very objectively. Right, your job is to find what's real, not what people perceive, but actually what's real. That's a Ray Dalio tip, right? People that disagree on something should, from there on, focus on why do we disagree and what's the truth.
Right.
So basically, will you fit in the market? Is this something you want to move forward to? Once you are clear on your vision, right, and you're passionate about, and this is something that you personally have committed to. Commitment's huge because if you're not committed, your team will not be committed. From there, don't worry about so much finding people that you get along with, but find people that supplement your weaknesses. you want to get along with them to a certain extent, but I guess I worded that wrong. But don't try to go get your best friend to go into business with just because he's your best friend. If it's a fit, it's a fit. Great. If not, you know, you need to be finding someone that supplements your weakness. Maybe you're a big picture guy, right? Maybe you're a strategy guy. You know, you can figure out different ways to build additional revenue streams. You can figure out the marketing side or the sales side, branding side, product development, whatever. Then find someone that is, you know, nitty and gritty and likes details that can help you save costs. Right, that can do coding, or you know, someone that is necessary for your business, but you personally are not finding strengths in. And yeah, and of course you want to get along. The second thing is you want to make sure that they buy into your vision.
Yeah, that's huge.
As a startup company, right? They trust me. Everything seems like a sexy idea at first, but you really need to get them committed on your vision. And the best way to do that is again to be personally committed. And you have to show face, man. When things get hard, you can't let emotions, your personal emotions get in the, be displayed. Your negative personal emotions be displayed to your team, because that negative energy is gonna relay off them. So you want to find someone who supplements your weaknesses and make sure that your team shares your vision. In order to get them to share your vision, you first need to have it validated, which I already covered, right? It needs to actually be a good idea.
Right.
Two. You need to be able to communicate that vision effectively, and you need to be constantly communicating that through all through the entire process of building the business, right? Those are my few tips, and I know there's other parts of it. I don't know what else do you have.
No, I mean, I was just thinking another great way to get people involved in the business. I mean, think about this. If you're working a day job and you're not happy with your day job, odds are you're on the outskirts of the company. And you don't feel as though you have a purpose there, because you don't know what the purpose of the company is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I love about startup companies. Like, for instance, Chris knows because he can hear me upstairs at the house whether we just got a new deal or not.
Yeah.
And that's important because that you know, it builds rapport. It builds excitement and energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we feed off each other's energy. That's what small businesses need to strive on. Sometimes it's all you have. Mm-hmm. To strive on, would you agree?
Yeah, and you know, in you brought up a great point there, and let me expand on it real quick. Is right, most people are unhappy with their job, they're an outlier, they're just, you know, no one knows they exist, they're a number. You know, getting not being a boss of your team, but being a team.
Yeah.
You know, be more of a team captain where everyone plays their role, and give people autonomy, and give them a little bit of creative license to contribute to the ideas, right? To help expand. You need to be open minded. A huge problem, and I read this the other day, one of the major reasons why business, and there's so many, but a unique reason why businesses fail is people, the founder, the idea guy, falls in love with the idea. He just falls in love with it, and he's not willing to adapt it or to be open-minded to changing things and tweaking things. One thing that I think is a huge issue is people are told, you got to keep going, man. You got to keep going. You got to persevere. Which, in a general aspect, is very true.
Yeah.
However, most of the time when you succeed, it's when you put on the brakes, stop, you know, assess the situation, and change your model, change your product. I mean, there's so many great businesses out there today that started. YouTube was going to be a dating site.
Right.
I think we talked about that a few episodes ago. So, be open-minded to their ideas and give credit, man. You know, the more credit for your own business that you can give away to your team, the more invested they are into it. If it's all you, it's all your idea, not going to work.
No, exactly. And I like what you said about not hiring your best friend to do it. If you're synonymous with somebody and you guys have the same exact ideas, you're going to go around in a circle and a circle and a circle every single time. You're going to have two paddlers on the right side of the boat driving around in circles. In fact, what we know, a web design company, were two guys, they were identical, all right? And somebody said, we should do this. Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah. The other guy said, what if we did it this way? Yeah, perfect. Let's do it that way. And, you know, ultimately the company was unsuccessful because they didn't have the differentiator. They didn't say, no, that's a terrible idea. Why don't we go in this direction? Mm-hmm. You know, we can double our profit. We can double our revenue.
Yeah.
And we can increase the longevity of this company.
Yeah.
Well, geez, now that you put it that way, you know, you need to have some disagreements in business. That's what helps grow business.
Exactly.
No, and having it can't be a one-man show.
No, and it's relative, right? It all depends on the situation. You could really get along with your co-founder. You could be best. It could be your best friend, right? So it's all relative. But the takeaway is understanding what comes first. is finding someone you want. You need to get along with them because otherwise it won't work no matter how good they are if you're constantly butting heads. But you have to have an open conversation saying that and I think probably one of the largest factor, one of the best pieces of advice you can have when you start up a company is that you don't have pride anymore personally. Again, people fall in love with their idea. People have too much pride or too much ego to admit that they're wrong, right? Every decision, every action, every piece of communication you have with your team should be to better the business.
True. No, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. Listen, y'all got up the Young Professionals Radio Program at 106.5. The Ticket.
In life, there's a lot to be thankful for. The things that matter most to you are worth keeping safe. Mass Mutual has a history of financial strength and stability with long-term interests of their customers in mind. Mass Mutual in Maumee, a Mass Mutual general agency, can prepare you for what's ahead in your financial future. They understand who's counting on you. To learn more, call 419-893-9759. That's 419-893-9759. Or visit them at 1760 Manley Road in Maumee.
Building a strong professional network is a key component to a young professional's success, and there is no better place to expand your professional network than at Third Street Cigar. Choose from their selection of hundreds of premium cigars and sit back and enjoy your smoke in their relaxing and spacious music-themed smoking lounge. Learn more at thirdstreetcigar.com. That's thirdstreetcigar.com. Or visit them at 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. Third Street Cigar, the young professional's Cigar Lounge.
You see and hear all these ads about saving a ton of money. At CR Adrian Dodge and Adrian, you can drive off with a brand new car for less than your cell phone bill. At CR Adrian Dodge, you can get a brand new Chrysler 300S or Dodge Ram for as little as $109 a month. Even a new four-door Jeep Wrangler for as low as $179 a month. Visit CR Adrian Dodge at 1211 East US 223 Adrian or call Tyler Tanzel at 517-266-5925. That's 517-266-5925.
And welcome back to Young Enough, the Young Professionals Radio Program. It's time for the last segment. Chris, you ready?
Yep. Hey, everybody. You can find more information on the Young Professionals Program and Young Enough and what we do on our website at www.youngandup.co. That's C-O. You can find us on Facebook. Search Young and Up. You can find us on Instagram. Again, Young and Up. That's our handle, guys. The and is spelled out every time. A-N-D. Spell it out. And then you can find us on Twitter at Young and Up Media. Joe, you know what I want to hear about? I want to hear about our amazing sponsors.
Me too. Guys, I'm just looking at the deals here. We'd like to thank our sponsor, CR Adrian Dodge. New deals out today.
New deals?
Today. Jeep Compass, 24 months, $49. Guys, I can't even say it with a straight face, but it's true. I'm looking at it right now. That is a Jeep Compass for 24 months, as low as $49 a month. All right, so you like the Cherokee, 24 months, $89 a month. Chris, that's less than your cell phone bill.
It is.
We'd also like to thank Third Street Cigar. Like I said, guys, the second and fourth Thursday of every single month, we bring a prominent business member from the community. We bring him into our little Young Professionals group, and he talks to us. It's open. You can ask him anything in the world. As long as he doesn't get indicted.
And guys, go. That came out of nowhere. Go like them on Facebook too. Search Third Street Cigar. You know, even outside of the Young Professionals Nights, guys, they have live bands. They bring people, some really good talent from even out of town. A lot of times on Thursday nights, they just have cool events, man. It's a great place. Go grab a cigar. There's some of the top, most successful people in Toledo are there. It's a great way to network.
Now, isn't that a true story? And finally, we'd like to thank Mass Mutual. Tom Gallagher over there. We're doing a video shoot with him right now.
T-Gags.
He's going to be on our show in the next couple of weeks talking about money and how you can right your wrongs. And I'm not saying that you had wrongs, but I'm just saying I think everybody has had financial wrongs. T-Gags, Tommy Gallagher is going to show you how to fix that. If you want to get in touch with him, just dial 419 887 419-887-6246. Once again, 419-887-6246 for Tommy Gallagher. And like I said, he will be on the show in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the program. And we thank you for listening to Young Enough, the Unprofessionals radio program, 106.5, The Ticket.